RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to Jayco.com. And by Campgrounds of America. To find out what's behind the yellow sign, visit KOA.com or download the free app today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about Class B motorhomes, one of the fastest growing segments of the RV industry. The small footprint might scare away a lot of buyers, but driving comfort and flexibility are huge draws.
We will talk about the pros and cons of owning a Class B, plus share the experience of a couple who just traded in a hybrid for van life. Then we have an interview with Russ Garfin, product manager at Winnebago Industries.
You might think that van life is only for dirtbag diaries and well-heeled retirees, but we know that Class Bs are turning more heads than ever before. You are listening to episode number 130, Pros and Cons of a Class B RV.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, pros and cons of a Class B RV, it's time for our RVFTA News Roundup, which is sponsored by our friends at Progressive Insurance.
You can stay protected with emergency expense, which is automatically included with your RV comp and collision. Progressive will pay for temporary expenses, transportation, and towing if your RV is damaged more than 50 miles from your home. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV today for more info.
All right, so we have some big news this week to kick off our news roundup. We are introducing something new to the world of RVFTA. Stephanie, can you share some details?
All right, so I think that we said if we got like 1,563 requests for a Facebook group that we would finally start one, and we did hit that number, I think, in our email this past week. So, okay, you guys got it. You got your Facebook group, the RVFTA, the group is over on Facebook.
RVFTA, the group is alive. It's alive. And what does that mean about the forum on our website? It means that we're going to shut it down and we're going to migrate over to Facebook. It's complicated. It was a complicated decision to begin with a year ago. The forum's gone really well on the website, but just so many people have asked us to start a Facebook group who aren't on the forum. We just think we'll get a lot more people involved and you'll be able to get a lot more responses to your questions, which is the whole point.
And we know that a lot of you are just on Facebook every day. Most of us are. It's a part of our life. So it makes sense to just kind of integrate the good camping questions that we get over on the forum over there on Facebook too. I am constantly blown away, not only by the questions, but by the really great responses that our listeners give one another on our forum. And we would like to, you know, just make sure that more people are seeing and answering those questions. So we're going to take the big leap and we're going to do that Facebook group thing.
Same basic single rule applies. No cranks allowed. We want this to be the friendly group. We don't want the tow police out there just sitting there waiting to criticize somebody for their tow vehicle or how much weight they're pulling and all those things that happen on the other forums. That's not our forum.
And not just on the forums, on the Facebook groups. I want to give an example of one from today. Okay. So this is an example of what's not going to happen on our Facebook group. Poor lady says, "Hey, can anybody tell me what they do for cable when they're camping?" All right, guess who came out?
What a naive lady.
Guess who came out? The cable police. Okay, because not just the tow police, and there's the cable police too, right? So this poor lady got more answers about why she shouldn't be watching cable when she was camping than she did about the cable itself. And I'm like,
maybe she's watching nature programs.
Well, it doesn't matter. You know, she ends up, the poor thing felt like, you know, she had to defend herself and say, I live in my camper.
She's probably
like, we have
working,
a permanent site.
She's
like,
probably working her way through the complete au revoir of Ken Burns.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Like, everybody, if somebody asks about cable, if you don't have a cable answer, scroll on by. And if you do, pop in and give a friendly response.
People criticizing her about watching cable are just sitting there on their cell phones all night.
Yeah. Yeah, you're on Facebook, okay? So you're no better than the lady. In fact, there's probably better programming on cable than there is
on
Facebook.
No tow police. No cable police. No campground police. There's always those people, too, that criticize the prices of private campgrounds and say that the state park is the only way to go. You know who you are. Oh, actually, you don't, because you don't listen to our show. You listen to other podcasts.
Well, we know that there is plenty of friendly and also realistic and authentic discussion to be had, apart from those typical things that pop up. And we're going to see if we can translate the wonderful friendly community that we have over in the forum on, you know, on our other forms of social media. We're going to see if we can translate that into a Facebook group. It will be a minor miracle if we accomplish it, but we're going to try.
Let's just say it. Our podcast listeners are smart. The people that are drawn to this show are high IQ people, and they usually have really good info in response to questions.
Are you giving IQ numbers for our listeners?
I don't know the average necessarily.
Have you released a poll? All right. Well, speaking of smart podcast listeners, we did meet a ton of really smart podcast listeners this past weekend at the Atlantic City RV show.
I was buoyed by the enthusiasm, the energy, the kind words of our podcast listeners that came to the Atlantic City RV show, stopped by to say hello, listened to a seminar. I mean, it was really, really flattering, and it just gave me so much energy moving forward into the spring to do this show. People kept saying that the show brings joy into their lives and happiness into their lives. We had a 7-year-old ask us for a selfie.
Yeah, I don't play favorites. I try not to, but that little 7-year-old girl, she's my new favorite, and I'm not going to say her name because I don't have her parents' permission to, but you know who you are, and I love you.
We also discovered there's like a group of mailmen that listen to our podcast. There's this one mailman that listens to our podcast, and he's like really enthusiastic about the podcast, and he says he's getting all the other mailmen to listen to the podcast, and this was thrilling to me.
We're trending in the mail person, not mailman, right? Postal worker.
If your mail's coming a little late in your neighborhood and you see the mailman pulled over to the side somewhere having a little driveway moment, he might be listening to RVFTA, so cut him a break.
All right. So, and on top of that, we were able to meet Andy at the Atlantic City RV show. And Andy is the lovely lady who did the knitting pattern because she wanted to support our Tents for Troops fundraiser. And she made this knitting pattern and she said all proceeds are going to go to support the fundraiser. So she put it up on her regular knitting sales boards. You know, they're out there. There's tons of them. These knitters are really crazy
culture,
girls.
Whole culture of knitting.
Yeah. And she put her pattern up there and it's been selling so well. And she, I think, has already donated $200. She is doing it in increments of $50 as she makes it, and she just keeps making these donations, and I'm so thankful that she decided to support this.
Absolutely. And Brett Nielsen out there in Utah, he had, I think, his mom or his mother-in-law make him one of the hats.
So I'm still waiting for somebody to make me the hat.
And it looked really nice. I want a hat. Someone to make me a hat. So, and Andy injected a little bit of energy into the Tents for Troops fundraiser, and we're over $5,000 now. We're halfway there. We need a big boost from our listeners. So we're going to go after those $10 donations this week, right, Stephanie?
Yeah.
What are we going to give people
for
$10?
I have a stack of our RVFTA magnets sitting in our office. I have a brand new big stack, and I want to send one out to everybody that donates $10 this week. When you hear this, I'll give you a couple weeks because some people don't listen to it right away when it comes out, but I'll give you a couple weeks. And if you donate $10, I also need you to email me your address, because if you message me through the GoFundMe page, it goes to my spam in my Gmail account and I don't see it. So I need you to email me your address and I will send you that magnet.
These magnets are like a $12 value. They're not small magnets. They're
no,
those large bumper
they
magnets.
They are. I'm giving them away, all right?
People have RVFTA podcast listeners have spotted each other on the highway out in the great state of Missouri.
Or at campgrounds.
True story.
I think it happened at a campground too. So the reason why we're doing this is because, you know, we have done a really good job at getting over our halfway point. Now, the thing is, though, is we know how many listeners we have in general out there, and not a really small percentage
small
of you have donated.
Percentage of our
so
podcast listeners.
We really appreciate those people who donate it. But the thing is, we also know that there's tons more of you out there, and we don't need you to make these huge donations. We just need a lot lot of you to do it. We were hoping to get the trailer sometime this spring. So that is still possible. That was our own personal goal, and it's still possible. And we really don't need you to make huge donations. We just need a lot of you to make a small donation, right? Many hands make light work.
Yeah. And the idea here is that Tents for Troops, which is a reputable nonprofit, is going to purchase a travel trailer for about $10,000. And they're going to put it on a campground that's going to donate the space. And then active duty military and their families can come stay for the weekend at that trailer and at that campground.
All right. Now, before we head into this week's feature topic, pros and cons of a Class B RV, we did want to point you to our previous episodes of pros and cons that have been really popular. So if you want to go back, you can listen to number 67 was pros and cons of a toy hauler. Number 77 was pros and cons of a hybrid travel trailer. Number 13 was pros and cons of a travel trailer. And number 2 was pros and cons of a pop-up camper.
We're working our way through all of them.
We are. We're getting through. So here's another one in this long line of illustrious podcast episodes.
And I think we'll do pros and cons of a Class C next, now that we've rented one and stayed in one.
Yeah, we will. And also, we're going to hear from Russ Garfin on this episode. He's such a nice guy from Winnebago. He's a product manager. He's really super smart and really good at communicating with consumers. And we also have a great interview with him on the Class C. So you'll be hearing that as well in the
We also have some great sponsors we have to thank. So a big thank you to KOA for sponsoring this episode of RVFTA. Are you a KOA Value Card Rewards member? If not, you should be.
We are, and we have been for 7 years, right? As early as we started camping, we were KOA members, I think, that very first year. So for $30 per year, you get 10% off of all of your camping fees at KOA. Plus, you earn points every time you stay at a KOA, and you can redeem those points for more camping discounts. I think we are like VIPs every year, right? Mm-hmm. We get so many points.
Yeah, we're platinum, I think. And we have like $75 worth of points racked up.
Yeah, and it's really nice. You love it when you like to rack them up and then cash them all in on
a free night.
Yeah.
If you're a member, you also get the KOA directory delivered to your mailbox every March, and reservations and check-in are made easier because they have all of your rig info right there on the computer.
Now, another thing to look out for right now is I wanted to mention to everybody that KOA is about to start its big RV giveaway. All right, they actually give away an RV every year.
It starts March 1st. And this year they're upping it. They're doing a bigger rig. They're doing a larger KOA gift card. And they're doing $1,000 in cash to outfit the RV. Stop the madness. So you want to look for that over on KOA's social media sites starting March 1st.
Yeah, they'll start posting it on Facebook and it'll like pop up every day. And I think you can like enter it. We'll wait and we'll see all the rules when it comes up. But like you can like enter it every single day.
Follow the rules. Follow the rules if you want to win the free RV. To find out what's behind the yellow sign, visit KOA.com or download their free app today. And please stay tuned for our feature topic, the pros and cons of a Class B RV. Before we head into this week's feature topic, the pros and cons of a Class B RV, we have a sponsored message from our friends at the Thetford Corporation.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. Thetford's Norcold refrigerators are uniquely designed for the RVing experience and built to handle the demands of the road.
They can automatically switch to propane if electricity isn't available, and they can be serviced at RV dealerships nationwide. Norcold refrigerators represent 50 years of design and manufacture of on-the-road RV use. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And you can look for that Norcold refrigerator while you're Class B shopping, if that's what you end up doing by the end of this episode, we'll see. So a lot of that might have to do with our list of pros and cons. So we'll get to that in a minute. It was interesting that we did, you know, a lot of talk about motorized versus towable at the Atlantic City RV show over the past weekend. We did a seminar that was called Which RV is Right for Me? And we went through all the different types. And And so we had a lot of real, real newbies at those seminars.
In fact, I think we were both surprised at how many people did not know if they wanted towable or motorized, where for us, we've kind of always known, even from the beginning, towable. I mean, there were plenty of people at the seminars who had no clue, like if they wanted a Class C or a fifth wheel. And part of the reason was because they don't have any kind of tow vehicle now. So sort of the sky's the limit. They could go motorhome or they could get a truck and a trailer.
Well, that's what we really helped people kind of realize through this seminar, is that we were going through each type and we were giving the reasons why you might want one over another. And what it really boiled down to in discussion, after the show, people would come up and talk to us further, is what it boils down to is if you are a family right now who's thinking about getting an RV and you have no tow vehicle, right? Not even an SUV. You just have two commuter cars, nothing that could really tow any kind of
camper. You've got like a Datsun and you've got like a Volkswagen Fox.
Then, the bottom line is that the budget for a tow vehicle and a towable travel trailer, hybrid, whatever, could be close to a motorized
trust us
unit.
We know.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, you combine the price of our new truck and our new toy hauler and it would have been a low end Class C.
Right.
We would have had to find a deal on a new Class C, but we were getting close.
Yeah. And so the second issue in people deciding what kind of motorized unit that they want, that came up again and again. We really, by the end of the weekend, was like, wow, this is something that people do a lot. A lot of people go into a Class C motorhome and they say, I'm not going to tow. And then they get through one season of travel. And I can't tell you how many people we talked to this weekend that had this issue. At the end of that season, they said, it's too hard not to tow. We're going to have to tow something.
I think we talked about 10 people who wanted to buy Class C's and said they weren't going to tow their car.
Right.
And we were like, well, that's what you think.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to really be what happens for you.
Yeah. So, here's the thing is we're going into a discussion on Class B motorhomes. And there's two groups of people out there that might not have been thinking about a Class B that maybe you want to get your juices flowing on it a little bit. And the first group is somebody that's shopping right now and doesn't have a tow vehicle, right? So this episode might pique your interest a little bit. And the second person might be out there thinking that you want a Class C and you're not going to tow. All right, because if that's you, consider that you'll probably end up towing something and maybe you want to think more about a Class B option. All right, so you ready to get going?
I am ready to get going. And I have to say, when we go to an RV show, we always walk through the Class Bs. It's like they pull us in, right?
They pull one of us in at a time.
Ah, that's true.
I don't think that I'm not comfortable being in a Class B with a lot of people.
Meaning me.
Yeah. Meaning you. All right. So the pros of a Class B motorhome. Let's start at the top, right? Number one, drivability. Class Bs drive like regular cars and vans. They fit in the same parking spots. I took my driving test in a Suburban, right? To get my license. Driving a Class B is like driving a Suburban or the F-250. Really, probably easier.
So, you are going to be able to park in most places. Now, we're not saying you're going to be able to park in somewhere really tight or necessarily take it down to the shopping mall, but you should be able to park a Class B out at the restaurant or out at that hiking spot, because that's what Class B owners do.
Yeah, exactly. And that is one of the biggest draws for them. All right. Number two, just they are easy and comfortable to drive too, right? So this is driving like a van. As opposed to that truck feeling. Like even with our F-250, you're feeling like you're driving a truck.
Class C, the cockpit can be kind of crammed together. And then once you get into a Class A, the thing's just gigantic. So this is going to feel more like what you have been used to doing your whole life as a driver.
All right, number three, you can get even more use out of them than you can a regular RV. And why is that? Because you can use it for a bunch of daily life activities also.
If we had a Class B, we would take it to the boys' soccer games, take it to their baseball games, maybe do a little more tailgating, go to some minor league baseball games. I would use it for day trips. We go to Princeton all the time for day trips. I would take the Class B and then you could eat lunch out of it and use the potty, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of Class B owners do find other uses other than just camping trips to campgrounds.
Oh, yeah. If you just want to go for a hike around your house, how nice is it to park that at the state park? You have, your food in there, everything nice and comfortable. You come back, you chill out, you have lunch. Even in colder weather, I think think it's easier to stay active when you have a kind of comfortable setup like this. You go skiing and come back, you know, to it.
We know Class B owners that use it as their second car. Mm-hmm. They have a smaller car, they have a Class B, and that's it. It's not like the Class B is their third engine in the driveway. It's only their second.
Now, number four is something that comes up over and over again when we're talking to people who are shopping or who own a Class B, and that is that they are easier to store / HOA compliant, right?
Well, last year we met at the Florida RV Super Show, a family of three, nice couple with a young daughter, and they said Class B is the only thing we can look at because it's the only thing that the HOA will allow us to have in the driveway. And that was a struggle for them in a sense because they needed one that would sleep three comfortably, but that is what they did end up getting was a Class B because they were allowed to park it in their driveway. They did not want to pay storage fees and have a travel trailer 45 minutes away somewhere.
Yeah, and we always say if you are going to have to store your RV, factor that into your budget. So if you think about taking that, say, $100 a month storage fee, you know, which just seems like a kind of average price. If you factor that into, you know, a payment, if you're financing, then, you know, all of a sudden your budget goes up a little bit and you can afford maybe a little bit more than you thought because you won't have to pay a storage fee. You can park this in your driveway.
All right, Class Bs tend to have cutting-edge technology in them. They tend to be very on point with things like solar prep, lithium batteries, better sound systems, Bluetooth technology, of course, good fuel economy compared to a Class C or a Class A, continuous hot water heaters, heated floors, rear cameras. The Class B owner is a discriminating owner who often has the money to spend, and therefore Class Bs are loaded with tech oftentimes, and they are expensive because of that.
Yeah, if you go to an RV show and you ask the manufacturer's reps to kind of walk you around the Class B and highlight a lot of its features, the chances are most of that time is going to be spent on tech features and what is packed into this little small space that's going to make it comfortable for you to be in. And I mean, even things like the shades that like automatically go up, automatically come down. It's really getting, I remember at the Hershey show, we were touring the Hymers. That some of the Hymers that were new there. And it was really amazing.
Well, and these are $90,000 vehicles, right? I mean, these Class Bs are expensive.
Well, but that's what you're paying for. You're paying for a lot of engineering packed into a very small space. So that was number five, right? You'll get your cutting edge technology in these.
Number six, a lot of very sporty Class Bs now, you know, from a company like Winnebago, for instance, that have options for bike racks, kayak racks. They're made for people living active and adventurous lifestyles, whether those are retirees who are still very young and healthy, or maybe the millennial crowd who just want to go out and go hiking and get out into the woods and camp in the woods even.
Now, I'm frustrated that we haven't seen more of this come in the world of towables, to be quite honest, because I don't think there's any reason why we shouldn't get more racking choices from manufacturers in towables. But the bottom line is they're not there yet. We're still having to like rig things up and buy extra things.
And in a sense, they should be options from the manufacturers because I think they'd be easier to install and integrate into the design.
It would also be safer than these people, like everybody that's putting things on their bumpers, you know, and then you hear the horror stories about their bumpers falling off.
A lot of times people that have racks on their travel trailer, they're like getting them from Canada or ordering them from far, far away at very high price points, right?
Yeah,
they are hard to find.
It's a big deal to try to outfit your rig with the right rack. So it'd be nice if we saw this move into the other segments. But in the Class B segment, they're already there. So number seven, tow capacity. Now, this might sound outrageous, but in fact, one of the things that people love about their Class Bs is that they could actually tow something with it.
Yeah, some grandparents will like get a Class B and tow a pop-up camper behind them so the grandkids can come with, and that solves the space issue, right? Like if you're a couple and you want to have the grandkids come along, you might not have room in your Class B, but you can tow something behind you or rent something for the weekend and bring it to the campground.
Now, seriously, think about that. One of the problems with RV shopping is that it's hard not to think about that like unusual instance, right? So you're shopping for an RV that you might camp in, say, 40 nights that year. But you can't stop yourself from thinking about the one trip a year that you like to take with your grandkids or the two trips a year. Now, you don't want to get a camper for five people just because twice a year you camp with five people. So that can be really hard. But this can solve that actually very nicely. Because if you are one of those awesome grandparents that is willing to like have the beater pop-up in the driveway, you can hook that beater pop-up up to your Class B for those two trips a year you take with your grandkids.
I would do that.
That's cool.
I would do that in a second.
So would I. I think it's a great
option.
Even
if we got a small Class C one day, to have a pop-up camper to bring the grandkids I think is a great idea, because then you just leave it on the driveway when you don't need it, and when you do need it, you can. And if you're buying a $100,000 Class B or an $80,000 Class B, what's another $10,000 for a brand new pop-up camper to throw behind it?
Yeah, and if you're also toy people, you can also tow your motorcycles, you know, behind you, or you can tow your smart car, right? If you want to really have a small little vehicle to get around, if you're traveling across country in your van and you don't want to have to unhook every time you go out and everything. So there are really actually a lot of instances where towing might be a great option for you as a Class B owner.
All right, number eight. A Class B is going to fit on just about any site, right? I mean, you get a 40-foot Class A, you might not be able to camp at that state park that you love. A Class B is going to get you anywhere. And a lot of Class B owners even like to camp off the grid because they can get that Class B out into the wilderness.
Well, it's easier to camp off grid too, because you have the you have sort of the self-contained options of a Class C or a Class A in terms of your generator and all of that. You can be comfortable camping off grid, but then at the same time, it's also easy for you to do that anywhere. You don't have to worry about finding a space big enough for your Class A.
Well, we met somebody at the Atlantic City RV show that wanted a very rugged 4x4 Class B, and he was disappointed at the selection at the RV show because he wanted to go down into Central America and South America mm-hmm. and be very off the grid, right? And you're not going to do that towing a fifth wheel, okay?
Yeah.
Or even a 40-foot motorhome. I mean, that really is the ideal choice for that type of off-the-hook, off-road adventure.
This guy knew exactly what he wanted. It was great to chat with him a little bit. He wants to pack a backpack and go. He doesn't want a bunch of gear. He wants place for his tools. You know, something breaks, he's got to fix it.
We told him he should be at the Colorado RV show, not the Atlantic City RV show, just in terms of seeing some rigs that were more well-suited for him. At the Florida RV Super Show, both the past 2 years, we did see a 4x4 off-road Class B. We told him about that one as well.
All right, do we have any more pros before we move on to our cons?
Let's move on to the cons. And there are more pros than cons, and I think that's the case for most RVs. It's just the cons are sort of profound.
They're deal breakers. Well, that's just what it is. It's cons are the ones that say, yeah, nope, that's not going to work for me. You don't need a lot of them. You just need one to make it a deal breaker.
Number one is price. We've gone to lots of RV shows. We've looked at lots of new Class Bs, and they always seem to be in the 90s to me, or like over $100,000.
Yeah, for the Winnebagos, we're looking at a price range that we'll talk – Russ Garfin's going to talk about their three lines, and we're looking at a price range between $90,000 and $130,000, really at the high end. So but that makes sense, because what you have is a whole heck of a lot of tech and engineering really crammed down to a small space. So Class Bs are like precious, you know, very valuable little creatures that you need to care for. It's like your china collection.
There's more engineering and design involved. It's more complex and more precise, I think, because of the small size.
All right. So if your budget doesn't allow it, you know, there's always the used option, and a lot of people go used with Class Bs.
And then be prepared to look all over the country for it. Mm-hmm. You're not necessarily going to roll up to your local dealer, if you have a local Class B dealer to begin with, and find a used one. I mean, people that buy used Class Bs search all over the country for
them. I think that you can put that in line with the fiberglass, you know, at the fiberglass travel trailers. Like we talked with Dean about how people who are looking for those used fiberglass travel trailers, they just know they might have to go five states away.
So it becomes a pilgrimage of sorts.
All right. So number two, you have much fewer floor plan options for, you know, really even for couples. But if you have more than three or four people in your family.
I mean, personally, I don't think you should be looking at a Class B if you're traveling with four people. I mean, some people get away with one kid in a
Class
B. These are personal decisions.
Though. I don't like that you say that, because all Europeans travel all over Europe with families of four in camper vans, right? So I do think it's just what we're used to as a culture when we think of RV culture. So we've been at campgrounds and seen Europeans with four people, right? Parents and two kids in a Class B. We don't really know how to do it, but we don't also live in as small spaces as Europeans do in homes and everything. So I think that that has something to do with it. But I do think that if you go more than four people, you are just asking for trouble.
Number three, hate to state the obvious, but got to do it. Class Bs lack storage in a really profound way. You almost have to be a minimalist to travel long periods of time in a Class B.
Yeah, you don't even get the outside storage that you get in even some of the smaller travel trailers with the storage bins and everything. So it's not just about having smaller amounts of storage in the Class B. It's having smaller amounts of storage on the outside of the Class B too. So you really can't expect, you know, if you're traveling in a travel trailer and you're thinking about moving to a Class B, like, you really need to understand that the difference in the amount of stuff you're going to bring is going to be tremendous.
And the Class B owners that we know swear they can fit everything they need in the Class B. And that's...
It's true for them because they probably need less stuff.
I'm not doubting that at all. You know, I'm just saying I think they have to really think about it and really plot it out a lot more than the rest of us.
All right. Number four. This is our fourth con for a Class B. Destination exploration. So even though you can take your Class B and you can go everywhere you want to go, you can go through that national park without trouble. You can go to the grocery store without trouble. Even though that's true, you still need to unhook to do it. So you're set up at the campground and you are going to have to undo the hoses, undo your electric, and you're going to have to drive away.
Yeah, you don't need a towed, meaning a vehicle to tow behind you. But then if you're going to go out to dinner or go out for a hike, you have to undo your electric, your sewer, et cetera.
Yeah, and we've camped next to people that we've watched do that to, like, go out to dinner. And we were like, I don't really know if I want to unplug to go out to dinner. So, and number five, you're automatically going to have smaller tanks than you're used to in a travel trailer, fifth wheel, other motorhome.
There's just less space, right?
Number
six, most of them you're going to have to make and unmake the bed every day. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a Class B that has a permanent bed in the back. It's usually some kind of a fold-down or dinette type of conversion
right.
bed.
Right. You could leave it down all the time if you want a dedicated bed and you don't want a dinette or you don't want – but that's one of the reasons why I like the twin bed option floor plan so much is because I like the fact that you can have that dedicated bed set up and you don't need to transform it at night. I like that.
Now, obviously, number seven, there's less living space. But you do really need to think about that smaller amount of living space. Stephanie likes to joke around and say, if you want to buy a Class B, you need to really be in love with that person you're traveling with. And to some degree, she's right. Like, you know, I just don't know if we're enough in love because every time we would bump into each other, I think you'd get annoyed at me.
Well, yeah, because I should probably change the whole phrasing of love to harmony, right? The question is, do you live in harmony together? Because some couples are very harmonious in the way that they operate, right? Like, they can be right next to each other in the kitchen, cooking together, chopping, whatever, and everything works fine. If, like, I'm in the kitchen trying to cook and you're trying to get something out of the drawer and, like we are at odds. It doesn't work.
I end up just spinning around and, like, knocking you in the
face
with
like,
my elbow.
I'm always like, oh, my gosh, I was right there as you step on my foot.
And we actually have a big kitchen.
Yeah. So, exactly. So, if that takes place in our big kitchen at home with, like, this enormous island and everything, like, what would happen in a Class B? I can't even imagine. So, you know, think about that. How do we operate in spaces when we're sort of in a small space at home, and how would that translate into the Class B?
All right, we're going to come back for another segment before the big Russ Garfin interview, and it's going to be with one of our podcast listeners who went from owning a hybrid to owning a Class B, and he wrote us a really nice letter about some of the pros and cons and some of the things they've had to deal with moving into the Class B. It should be quite interesting. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment two of our episode on the pros and cons of a Class B RV. And in this segment, we're going to be talking about moving from a towable to a Class B. But first, it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
Whether you're on the hunt for action or in search of an extravagant getaway, the innovative and luxurious Seismic Toy Hauler is the ideal travel companion. With plenty of space for your toys and hobbies in the garage, you can have it all with the Seismic, which is backed by the industry-leading 2-year limited warranty.
Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. And those Seismics were showstoppers. at both the Florida RV Super Show and at the Atlantic City RV Show. Now, longtime listeners know or have heard of us talk about JP and Kathy, and they have both been reading our work since we were the lively little campers. I mean, they were one of our first readers, and they've stuck with us through the whole show here. And they're very experienced RVers. They've gone to Europe and rented RVs. They started in a pop-up camper and went cross-country. And now they have finally purchased a Class B RV, and they shared some of their thoughts about moving from a hybrid to a Class B. So, Stephanie, what were some of the things that they found that they liked or that they didn't like?
All right. Yeah. So we're going to give some of their feedback. But first, I wanted to read the little part that JP and Kathy wrote about sort of how they ended up getting a Class B from their hybrid. So I thought that that would be interesting to our audience. So they write, "For us, the journey to a Class B began about 7 or 8 years ago when we saw one at the Woodstock KOA in New Hampshire. A couple was parked next to our hybrid, which we loved, and we were invited to look inside their tiny van. When we looked inside, we sort of looked at each other and shook our heads. Too small, we said. Fast forward about 3 or 4 years, we began to plan our epic trip to New Zealand. As we looked at our options and decided renting an RV made the most sense for the way we like to travel. Having had a caravan in Europe back in the 80s gave us the confidence to camp, and a Class B made the most sense to us in terms of size, mobility, and room. We really enjoyed the Sprinter-based motorhome that we rented in New Zealand. It was the right size, very easy to drive, inexpensive to operate, and despite its small size, had more than enough storage for our needs. When we returned from New Zealand, we decided that the initial cost of a Class B just wasn't in the budget, but our hybrid was beginning to get long in the tooth, so we bought another hybrid. We wanted to have room to go camping with our grandchildren, and we still liked the idea of the tow vehicle being separate from the trailer, a bit more flexibility. But after struggling with the new trailer, which was small but still bigger than our old one, in our narrow street at neighborhood and narrow driveway, we found that hitching and unhitching and turning it around to the backyard was getting to be a big bother. We began searching for used Class Bs. After a 6-month on and off again search, we found what we wanted at Indian Valley RV in Suderton, Pennsylvania. As we bought our first hybrid from them, we were familiar with the excellent service from this small family dealership. It was within the budget and was in great shape. So our Class B journey began, and the next chapter of our adventures has begun."
So some things that they love about their Class B, which is a Pleasureway XLTS. It's 21 feet long, so it's easy to drive, maneuver, and park wherever they go, though they do say it's too tall to go in most parking garages, which is something to note. But they're amazed at how nimble it feels, and they love the fact that it fits in their driveway, because they live outside of Philly, so they have a tight road and a tight driveway, and this works for them.
They also mentioned that the body actually widens about 6 inches on each side behind the driver's area. So they said that 6 inches doesn't sound like a lot, but that extra wide body makes it feel a lot more spacious to them being inside.
Now, they say they actually have plenty of storage for everything they want to take with them. They're able to put in their clothes, their camping stove, their grill, their screen room, their chairs, and their tools. So good for them.
Right. And JP and Kathy, I think, since they only ever went up to the hybrid, right? I don't think that they ever got too crazy probably with the amount of stuff they bring. So it was probably an easier transition, where if you've been in a fifth wheel, you might be like, where does this go? Where does that go?
Yeah. Recently he said, they're just trying to find the right place for everything. And I don't know that I'd call JP and Kathy minimalists, but they are not maximalists.
Right.
That's for sure.
Now, they also really like the comfort. They said that the leather sofa electronically folds down into a bed and they're comfortable in it. Now, I like the sound of that. I like that you're just hitting a button and it's going down into a bed.
And they also say that the driver and passenger seat easily swivel around and create a dining area with table. And that's very common in Class Bs. They also have a TV and a nice stereo and a space to cook if they need to.
They said they do most of their cooking outside, but that if they need to prepare a meal in the van, they're fine doing that. All right, now number 4, what they're happy about, what they love about it is the great gas mileage. They used to average about 10 or 11 miles per gallon with their Astrovan and hybrid travel trailer. Now the Pleasureway has a Ford V8 and they're getting about 15 miles per gallon.
That's stinking awesome. awesome.
Yeah, like, that's a big deal.
My F-250 does not get that, right?
Yeah, and they also said that it's nice that it doesn't feel like it's sluggish at all. Like that when they were towing, they said like if you're going up a hill or if you're trying to pass, you could feel that pull on it. And they're like, they love not having that pull. Like this is zippy and it speeds up easily and they can pass no problem. So
right. Only a couple things they say they don't love about it. Leveling's a little bit challenging. There's no self-leveling jacks. And they say it's a bit of a struggle to get all four corners right, which has to happen for the refrigerator to operate.
Yeah, I think that seems like that's their number one struggle right now is the leveling. And then also driving the RV out to a destination while they're camping. They pointed out that there's been some oopsies with regards to things not being secured properly, right? Like, you unhook, but then you drive away and you didn't close that cabinet all the way. So things come flying out in the cabinet.
And that can do a lot of damage inside an RV.
Yeah, so looking on the positive side, they were saying that it's encouraging them to keep everything tidy. So that's a good thing.
All right, JP and Kathy, thank you so much for contributing to this episode and being part of the RV FTA family. Stephanie, give us a sneak peek of this great interview that you have with Russ Garfin, who knows all things Class B at Winnebago.
Yeah, Russ was great to sit down and talk to about the Winnebago lines of Class Bs, but he also really helped me walk through the issues of chassis and engine, right? Because that's a big deal when you're talking about a motorized RV, and I think it can be a little overwhelming for first-time shoppers. Like, everybody's throwing what kind of chassis it is at you, and you're going, well, who cares? What does it matter? What's the difference? So Russ and I spend a lot of time talking about that, and we also talk about the three different lines and what the differences are, and we talk a little bit about floor plans, and it turns out Russ and I both share a love of the same Class B floor plan.
Stay tuned to get an education on the Class B RV.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I am so lucky to have with me Russ Garfin from Winnebago, who is going to help us break down this whole Class B education thing a little bit more. He knows everything there is to know about the Class Bs, as far as I've been told. I hope that's true, well, Russ.
That's what I think, I'm sure.
Wait, you were the one that told me that, right? Yeah. All right, yeah. So Russ, welcome to the show. Why don't you tell everybody what your official title is and then what you really do here at Winnebago.
Yeah, thanks, Stephanie. I'm the product manager at Winnebago Motorhomes for all of our Class B motorhomes, our Class C motorhomes, and then our Class A Via, which is a small Class A built on a Mercedes Sprinter chassis.
Okay, so that falls into your category because of the chassis and the size.
Yeah, and the size. Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, all the little ones are mine.
Okay, the little ones. All right.
Yep.
So, well, and that, let's just dive right into our topic then, because that's the thing about Class Bs. I think that most people think of a Class B and you just think a little van.
Little van, yeah.
Little van. And, you know, if you're interested in a Class B, I think you can kind of feel like I don't even know what the differences are, right? Like, I go to these RV shows and I see this line of vans.
Right.
How do I even know where to start? How do I know what the differences are? I think the differences can be a little more subtle with a Class B. Yep. It can be behind the walls, you know, or underneath, you know, the RV a little bit more, the price points. So I'm hoping that you can kind of help us work through this a little bit, namely by talking about the Class Bs that Winnebago offers.
Sure.
So what are your three lines?
Okay, well, we have three lines, you know, kind of starting from the lowest price point would be our Travato, which is built on the ProMaster chassis, which is a Chrysler van, serviced and sold, you know, by Chrysler dealers around North America. And also then the next step up would be our brand new Paseo, which is on the all new Ford Transit van. And that's a really exciting vehicle because it's got kind of the state-of-the-art safety features and things that are kind of come with being the latest introduction of a van. And then kind of our bread and butter of the B van market is the Sprinter. You know, people love the Mercedes Sprinter, the quality and the power, the reputation of having a Mercedes chassis. So that's pretty pervasive throughout our industry. People are all building on the Sprinter chassis.
All right, I'm going to jump in here because I wasn't planning on going in this direction, but I think that we really should. You just introduced each one of these lines by just basically telling us what the chassis was,
yes,
right?
So right.
Let's like
kind of break that down a little more. Why is that the most important bit of information that you gave us about each of these lines?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know why I did that. Well, that's
I
how we
ask the hard questions.
Yeah, this is a tough interview. That's what we, you know, really separates the vehicles because when you build a B van, we call it a B van. They're built on a platform that is completely made by an OEM automotive manufacturer.
Right.
So all the walls, the ceiling, the floor, all of the doors, and the including the entry door and the windows and all that thing are all basically all made by the chassis manufacturer.
And that's different than like a stick and tin travel trailer, which is going to be built right there
or a Class
factory,
C
right?
or a Class A, you know, to have different levels of how much stuff we add versus what's added by the chassis manufacturer. So they're really defined, I think, you know, to start as a starting point, just think about what kind of chassis do you want. And so we offer them all, you know, all the good ones are in our platform because there are people that like Ford, you know, they're just Ford people. There are people that like a gas engine, don't want a diesel, they don't want to mess with the diesel smell and, you know, go into the diesel part of the gas station. So they're going to choose a gas vehicle. So maybe the Sprinter isn't for them. So then that takes them into a Ford Transit or to the Ram ProMaster. The ProMaster is a really cool choice. It's very popular for us right now. The van was really designed with making a camper in mind when they mm-hmm. built the van. Originally, it originated in Europe as a Fiat Ducato. So it has things like a wider interior space, straighter walls, things like that that allow you to put a nice camper inside to do some things like
right.
you can sleep cross-coach in it, which you can't do on a Sprinter because it isn't wide enough.
Okay.
So, you know, that allows you to do different things with the floor plan. So, and all the floor plan development is really dependent on, you know, what that chassis supplier has provided us. So that mm-hmm. that creates differences there as well.
Okay, so I'm thinking that if somebody's asking themselves, like, which of these chassis would
yeah.
be a good fit for me, I hear price point,
right?
Right? You're saying, like, what's my budget?
Right.
I hear gas or diesel.
Right.
Do I have a preference for that? And then do I have a preference already for a manufacturer?
Yes.
We know that, like you said, some
yeah.
people, I mean, they say you want to start a war on, like, a RV forum, just
sure.
like, say, like, which truck is the best?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Chevy versus Ford, that
yeah,
kind of thing. Exactly.
So yep. think if you have a manufacturer. Are there any other questions that people should ask themselves if they're trying to decide on a chassis, you know, to kind of narrow down their options?
Yeah, I mean, well, certainly if you know, just thinking of the chassis, you know, you're going to think about fuel economy. Is that important to you? All of the vans get, you know, what I think is really good fuel economy for a camper. You know, they're weighing, you know, our Travato probably weighs about 8,000 pounds. So you have a gas engine. So if you're getting 14, 15 miles per gallon with 8,000 pounds, you know, that's pretty good.
Two thumbs up. You're happy
yeah.
about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, it gets better if you go into the Sprinter because it's a diesel. You know, then you're going to get, you know, 16 miles per gallon on average on the Sprinter chassis, but you're paying a little more for the diesel. So really kind of price point wise, you still, you know, it all kind of washes out, and they're all, you know, very similar in what they provide. When you get a B van, you're going to get something that's very economical to operate. And, you know, you also have the great, you know, warranty and service that these chassis providers supply. So if you have a good dealer in your area that you like that's a Ford dealer that carries and services the Ford Transit, then you might think, well, I'm going to look for a camper on the Ford Transit because I know, you know, these guys are really going to
right.
help me out on that side if I ever need service.
So you get, right. So you can get it serviced
yeah.
at that
right.
at the Ford as
yeah.
opposed to
so,
like, we
yeah.
always think about the RV.
Yeah,
because
you can't. You know, a lot of RV dealers aren't capable or aren't authorized to do mm-hmm. warranty on the chassis parts from
okay.
the chassis manufacturer.
All right. So that's a really important question. Is there a place that I feel confident
yeah.
that I'll be able to get good service?
Yeah. I mean, it's just one thing to consider. Most people who buy B vans, though, really are into traveling long distances and spend a lot of time on the road. So all three of those manufacturers have, you know, nationwide service networks, and you're going to get, you know, that service wherever you go. So just, you know, a small part of your decision, I think, how much time you're going to be in one area, and that, you know, if you have a good dealer in that area
okay.
from the RV side and also from the chassis side, it's always going to be a plus.
Right. So, you know, I think that helps me at least wrap my head around kind of
starting
to
yeah.
delineate, right,
yeah.
between, like I said, these vans.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are some of those other things that really separate
right.
out these different lines of the Class B?
Yeah. Yeah. And so you're going to see each chassis has its own attributes that really – accentuate what we can do with the floor plan. And it starts with the Travato. We have two really cool floor plans, and they're both equally popular. You know, they're right now our most popular B-vans and the fastest growing thing that we have in this marketplace. But one has got a kind of a flip-down bed in the back, so it's and then a dinette up front. So if you're traveling with small children sometimes and you need to sleep four people in there, you know, it's a small space, but you can do it. Mm-hmm. That's the one you're going to want, and there's very few vans that actually provide that capability.
Okay, right. So yep. Is that the 59J?
That's the 59G, yeah.
Okay, so that one is, if you're listening and you're thinking about bees and you've got the one or two kids,
yeah,
that's an option.
Yeah, or if you think sometimes you might want to bring a grandkid along with you on mm-hmm. a trip, or if sometimes you don't want to sleep, you know, with your spouse and, you know, for what sometimes... Well, no,
we just started people. Another show. No,
I'm not speaking from personal experience.
His wife's not going to be allowed to listen to the show. He's like, I was never on a podcast.
Yeah.
All right. So for many different reasons, you might want a different sleeping
yeah, exactly.
spot. It gives you options.
Yeah, it gives you options, flexibility in that floor plan.
All right.
Also,
now, the other one, the 59K.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, that's actually the one that my wife and I own. The 59K.
Good taste.
Yeah, right? You have good taste, Stephanie. I love that floor plan, and people that buy it, they swear by it. Because
so that has the twin beds.
The twin beds. They can make into a big king bed if you'd like, but having twin beds allows you to get up and out of the bed at different times if you want to use the restroom in the night or somebody's going to get up early in the morning and wants to go for a walk and everyone's going to sleep in. You have all that flexibility without bothering the other person.
Right, and it also has the bathroom
in the back.
At the back.
Yep.
And for me, the more I walk into Class B's, the more I realize that if the bathroom's in the back, I feel like it's more open and airy. And if the bathroom in the middle it is on a lot of models, I feel a little more closed in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. You've identified the secret to that floor plan.
I love it.
So hope none of our competitors are listening.
No.
No, actually, in Europe, and they sell B-vans are very popular in Europe, and they have a thing that they call the wasp's waist, which is hard to say. But if you can imagine how the wasp has a really narrow mm-hmm. waist, so typically a B-van, you're going to have a space in the motorhome where you have to you can't pass each other. It's so narrow.
Right.
And so you have maybe it's big up at the front and big in the back, and then you got a bathroom in the middle or something that's very narrow to get around. So putting the bathroom in the back, two people can live very comfortably in there without having to get out of each other's way.
So you're eliminating the wasps.
Yes.
Waste.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what
it's
done.
Gone in that floor plan. Yeah. So that's the only one. You can walk, we don't, our other floor plans aren't that way. As much as we try, they don't have that same open feeling. And I think it's unique in the industry.
So then that might be just like we identified the one that was a good option for, people that might have the kids.
Right.
This might be the good option for people who do tend to feel like a Class B. I like the benefits of it, but it makes me feel a little stuffy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, So it's going to be a couple.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to really like that, or a single person really like that. We have a lot of single buyers that buy the K. Then they might take the other bed and just use it for storage, or they put a dog bed on that one or something like that. So it gives you a lot of choices that way. The other thing about the G I wanted to mention, though, is that it's also for people that want to haul things or whatever. And so we're selling those a lot to the active people like bikers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a big $6,000 bicycle or a $3,000 bicycle, which I don't have, but those people, they don't want to leave them outside on the bike rack when they're traveling. This you flip the bed up and the whole back end becomes storage. So that's a unique kind of a functionality that brings. So it's not just people with kids, but it's people who have toys they want to bring into the coach.
Okay, so this is your Class B toy hauler.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, exactly.
We've just created a new niche
category.
Within a niche category, right? Okay, so those are the Travato floor plans. Now, the Paseo, you guys are really excited about this.
Yeah.
I was talking to some people at Hershey
about,
how this was coming out, and people are like, this is going to be big. Why do you think that there was, a consumer for this product? Why is this different than your other Class Bs that you've had out there?
Well, first of all, a lot of that is driven by just the Ford Transit is so popular. It outsells all of the other van manufacturers in North America, 5 to 1. So, it's, they're just everywhere. So people, serviceability, the dealer network, and having that popularity, you see them, you're driving at the airport.
Right.
Everybody has them. So, people feel a lot of confidence in that. The second thing that I think that is really unique about that chassis is that we order with the Ford EcoBoost engine, which is very popular in the pickup trucks. A lot of your listeners probably have that for to tow their trailers and appreciate the fuel economy and the power. But you put that in that little van, and it's amazing. It's the most exciting experience I've had driving one of our campers, because
you can really feel
it. You can really feel it. It's amazing. And so you think, well, I don't really need to be fast or powerful. But when you're in traffic and you're trying to maneuver and keep up, and, you know, like if you're going through an urban area where there's lots of lanes of traffic, it really makes it a lot easier to drive, knowing that you can slide into any place you want, you know, at the right speed and not have to wait for the thing to, you know, to speed up. So
you sound like you're an adventurous driver, Russ.
I like to be in front.
I see like your eyes are kind of sparkling. Yeah. You're talking about driving that thing. Well, no, because we did actually buy a brand new Ford F-150 this past year.
Yeah.
And the very first question, everybody on social media, it was, did you get the EcoBoost? Did you get the EcoBoost? It was like the big topic.
Yeah.
So you really felt like you brought that very popular conversation to your class
right,
B world.
Right.
Okay.
And then we've also ordered it, you know, we get all the bells and whistles on it, so it has the lane keeping assist where the steering wheel will vibrate like a rumble stick
right,
if you start to drift out of your lane, which makes it really easy to drive. I was surprised that I do that once in a while.
Oh, I don't believe it for a second.
and then the other thing is you got the Ford Sync 3 nav system, which is, you know, kind of the state of the art in the automotive industry right now, with, you know, like it'll read text messages to you and you can.
Okay. Yeah. And that is just in the Paseo.
That's just
right
in the Paseo. Yep.
Okay. Yep. All right. So that really, that line stands apart in a lot of ways. It's funny, though, it's your middle price point, right?
Yeah.
On that.
Right.
So it's a very, I mean, if that's your budget range in there, it's very achievable to have a lot of these bells and whistles that are kind of special, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's pretty special. And so the interior is also unique. That floor plan has a large dinette in the back. So, you know, I think if you could envision backing up to a beautiful view, maybe by the ocean, and you've got your nice big dinette with a big table, and there's a full screen that comes down on the back, and you can have your coffee and breakfast there, and it's just a perfect place to enjoy, you know, wherever you're going. Then at night, you know, that table drops down, that becomes your bed in the back.
Which, still, having that screen down, right?
Yeah.
And getting to actually enjoy the, you know, the ambiance of what you're searching for when you go out in your RV.
Yeah, that's what you buy them for. Yeah.
And again, I think that is one of those features that can open up a Class B for somebody. You know, if they feel like, I'm not sure if this is too small for me.
Yeah, and then you can ride in the back. There's seat belts back there. So you have seat belts for six people.
You mean if you want to get away from your spouse? I'm just again, thinking that's a theme with you, Russ.
Oh, poor Kathy, yeah.
If you need a little separate space.
Oh, wow, this is going too far.
All right, so it's perfect. It's designed just for married couples like me and you.
Yes.
So, right, you every once in a while need a little space. All right, now, the third one is your luxury line,
right?
This is your higher price point line.
Right.
Does it start at about $125,000?
Yeah, that's pretty much it,
All right. So what, you know, makes that's the era? I don't want to say era.
Yeah,
I think
don't say era. It's era, right?
The era. What makes the era line, then, stand apart from the other two that we just talked about?
You know, we got through the chassis stuff, so you got your powerful Mercedes diesel engine, good fuel economy. You know, we've done things like it has multiplex wiring in there. So all of the lights are dimmable and fully controllable.
I don't even have that in my dining room, Ross.
No, it's a pretty nice feature. So, and once you have it the way you like it, you can just hit one switch and turn off all your lights in your coach without having to wander around and, you know, touch each light switch. So if you're leaving the coach and say, oh, I forgot that light, just hit the master switch. Or when you go to bed at night, somebody left the bathroom light on.
Right.
Just hit the master switch, and it's very convenient. And you control all your systems, your awnings, all that's through this one central control panel. So it's pretty handy that way. Generator, air conditioner, et cetera.
Okay.
Yep. And that coach is also, you know, got some really high-end features like the, you know, kind of beautiful high-end solid surface countertops.
Right, like the materials that are in that interior, you can just tell when you walk in.
And it's all, you know, high-gloss cabinetry.
Right.
And
even the bathroom is totally covered in that high-gloss cabinetry, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't even know it was a bathroom back there.
Right.
It just sort of, like, opens up.
yeah, it's a gorgeous bathroom. And our new, you know, we have three floor plans there. One has twin beds in the back. Again, for, you know, people get it up and out in the night, or you can make that into a big king bed.
Okay.
And that also has another little bed up front, so you could sleep, you know, three or four in that coach as well. That's the 70A. Then the 70X is kind of the conventional Class B floor plan that is, you know, pretty much every manufacturer offers this floor plan with the...
That's the wasps. Wait.
Yes.
thing
yeah.
that I picture. Right. Okay. Right. So there is that conventional floor plan that now we're seeing break away from that a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the bulk of the sales in our industry are that flat floor plan because you can seat 7 or 8 people in there if you want.
Right.
So you have that flexibility to use it as a second vehicle. A lot easier than, you know, some of the other
some
floor
the
plans
other
that are more,
ones, right.
you know, specific to camping.
Right.
You know, so that's the popularity of that. And then the last floor plan is our brand new 170M, which is the only Class B motorhome with a slide room.
Right. Yeah. I was in that. And it is amazing.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the Murphy bed?
Yeah, it has a slide room. In the slide room, has an electric Murphy bed. So,
and that's an industry first?
Yes. Okay. There's nothing else in a Class B with a Murphy bed or a slide room right now in our industry. So on both counts, it's unique. But what that allows you to do is actually have a walk-around bed. So, you know, of course it's tight because this is it's a van, but, you know, a person can get out either side of the bed and walk around to the other side to use the bathroom without climbing over your spouse. So it gives you that flexibility. And we worked really hard to make it a very comfortable bed.
Okay.
So it has, you know, memory foam topper on it. It has a Froley spring system underneath of it that allows the bed to ventilate and also, you know, provides the springs.
Right.
We designed it so you can leave all your bedding on the bed. And just push a button and up it goes. And your pillows and everything stays right there. So you don't have to find a place to store it.
Yep. So you can really do that easily in the day to get your bed out of the way. And it doesn't feel like that chore.
And it's not a chore. And then, you know, when you want to sleep at night, you just push the button and down the bed comes and everything's ready to go.
That's amazing. And I'll make sure to get a picture of that before I leave so that we can put it in the show notes of this episode. Because I was really like, whoa.
Yeah.
So, I don't think I've seen that before.
So we're pretty excited about that. And all our vans offer, you know, solar panels. So, you know, pretty much everybody orders those solar panels on the roof to charge your batteries, keep them, you know, maintain your batteries. They're all expandable. Mm-hmm. They all have plugs on the outside to add portable panels. So sometimes when you're parked under trees for a long time, you want to charge your batteries using solar. A portable panel is kind of nice because
you can
move it 25 feet away
right.
or something like that. And so that's pretty handy. We're also seeing a kind of a trend towards people are finding the compressor refrigerators very beneficial.
Okay.
So these are kind of new to our industry. There's been a handful here or there. We started out in our 59K Travato with the first one. It's a 12-volt refrigerator with a amazingly efficient, uses the power of a 40-watt light bulb. It cools down very quickly. So typical LP refrigerators, you know, they say you should start them a few hours before you want to use them, and then you have to deal sometimes with some LP issues.
Yeah.
But with just a simple 12-volt refrigerator, nothing to worry about like that. Freezes your ice cream hard.
Wow.
And it doesn't take very much power. So it's kind of like the dream refrigerator for an RV.
That is a dream.
Yeah. So we're real happy. We have a big freezer.
My kids sit there with that. I'm like, close the refrigerator door. It's going to take hours to get back to temperature. Well, as they decide what they want to eat.
Right.
Well, so I really feel like you helped break down sort of some of the different choices and options that are in the Class B market. Now, what I'm still wondering is, you know, is the Class B consumer, you know, exactly what we hear? Is your Class B consumer the young couple and the older couple, or are you seeing different things, you know, in other segments?
It's really interesting. You know, it's one of the fastest growing segments of our market, and certainly for Winnebago, it's been the fastest growing segment for us. You know, we are selling about 3 times as many now as we did 3 years ago. So it's really very popular. We see a lot of a variety of people coming in. You know, it's a great product for a pre-retirement person.
Right.
You know, a bucket list type thing. You see a lot of that. People are getting ready to retire and they're going to travel as much as they want. So let's just get a Class B where we can be totally self-contained and go when and where we want. The
flexible.
Ultimate freedom. Yep.
Yeah. So freedom and flexibility seem to be that theme, right?
Yep. But we also see we've got a lot of, you know, younger people buying a B van that are still working. So we have people that work from their Class B motorhome. You know, as long as they have a modem, they can work. And I know people that work full time, you know, for big companies that live in one of our Travatos, you know.
Do you feel that the age of that market segment is coming down?
Yes.
Do your numbers show that?
Yeah, our numbers show that. So two segments that are growing the fastest. Now, you know, it's still, you know, our industry and people, you have to have the disposable income to afford,
right.
you know, a motorhome, a new one. You know, mm-hmm. certainly used ones is a different story. But so we still see an older demographic predominantly. But the two segments that are growing the fastest are single women. And younger buyers, the pre-retirement segment, you know, people between 50 and 60 years old in that pre-retirement segment, that's 55 to 60. A lot of that growth. I'm really excited about seeing, you know, the amount of women that are buying,
right.
Our Travados.
Well, we have a show on our podcast network called Girl Camper.
Yeah.
And it's all about, you know, solo women travelers,
yep.
everything. So we'll yep. have to get you on that show
yeah.
and talk
yeah.
about why this is a great product for the girl
yeah.
camper. Because
yeah.
it really is.
It is.
So many of the girl camper concerns of security, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's so many things that
right.
really are met
yep.
in this product.
They're totally, you don't have to be plugged in. Like I put 15,000 miles on our Travado this year, my wife and I. And I bet we plugged in maybe three times.
Wow.
You know.
So you really do
yeah.
feel that freedom comes
yeah.
along with the purchase of a
right.
Class B. So
yep.
if that's at the top of your list for one of your reasons for getting into the RV lifestyle, then you really do
right.
need to carefully look at
yep.
this market segment.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much, Ross. I really feel like you helped me understand more about Class Bs, and I know that you helped our listeners too. So I really appreciate you taking the time
My
to talk
pleasure,
to us.
Stephanie.
All right,
thanks
we'll
for having
soon.
Me.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 130 of RVFTA, Pros and Cons of a Class B RV. And thank you so much to Russ Garfin for giving us his time and educating our listeners about Class Bs. And a huge thank you to our sponsors, to Jayco, to Campgrounds of America, and to the Thetford Corporation.
And also thank you to Progressive Insurance. Adding an RV policy to another policy like home, auto, motorcycle, or boat is a great way to save time and money. Get on the road to savings by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV to learn more. And thank you also to JP and Kathy for taking the time to give us a little feedback on their new experience with the Class B. Hopefully it helped some of our listeners think through their options.
Class B owners, send us an email. Shoot us a comment on social media. Tell us which Class B you have and why you love it or why you don't love it. Let's keep the conversation going.
We met one of our Class B owners, Teresa, at the recent Florida RV Super Show, and she loves her Class B. Yeah, so we know you got a lot of you guys out there, and we're always happy to see your adventures. Maybe we'll do a post on our new Facebook group asking for all those Class B pictures.
Yeah, so we'll see
you
on our Facebook group, which is RVFTA The Group, and more importantly, we hope to see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.